With Laura Fox.
Podcast. Now, when it comes to pop, we know the big names, the superstars who fill arenas and get their songs played on the radio. But one of pop's secret weapons isn't autotune or a great glam team. It's former heavy metal singer from Sweden who has gone on to have 27 number ones in the US singles chart. He is so big, in fact, that a musical featuring his songs is headed to Dublin this year. So who is Max Martin and why is he such a big deal? Joining us now to explain that is our 2FM host and fantastic DJ, Connor Bean. Connor, very welcome back to the show.
I know, Happy New Year. Are we allowed to say that on the 7th of January?
No, I'm kind of thinking we're only on the 2nd of January, really and truly. It's the first full proper week of, you know, work. So we're still in the flow of it.
I saw Dua Lipa post on social media on, like, I think Sunday. She was like, I thought January 1st would be the first day of the year, but I was a bit tired and emotional. Euphemism. So I put that in. I don't want to say what she actually said. So today is my actual 1st of January and she had like a green juice and she was knocking it back. I thought, that's why I like you, Dua Lipa.
This is why we love you. Connor, we are talking about Max Martin today. Mm-hmm. I've been, you know, prefacing this throughout the show this morning, but who is the songwriter Max Martin? And like, because there is nobody bigger than him, really.
No, I mean, look, the songwriter as part of pop music is not a new thing. You think Burt Bacharach, Stock Aitken Waterman, all these big songwriters over the years have been crucial in giving so many artists we love the big kind of breakthrough song that they need. And I think Max is probably the biggest. He is someone who's worked with Katy Perry, Maroon 5, Taylor Swift, Sam Smith, Ellie Goulding, The Weeknd, Britney Spears, and that's only a handful. In fact, if you didn't know his work, we have literally done a little montage and it's probably only a third of the bangers he's produced, but it'll give you an idea of the man we're discussing
today. I knew you were trouble when you walked in.
He's a lot to answer for in this song now, I will say that much. Myself and yourself were actually talking about this online, but me and Cormac were talking about it on air today about ins and outs. Mainstream is in for 2025, right?
Which, for me.
Honest to God, yep. Like, we're totally on this right now. But that is like mainstream to its core.
He has been part of the kind of building blocks of pop music for about 25 years, I would say. He was born in 1971 back in Sweden. He was a music obsessed teenager in the 80s. His real name is Carl Martin Sandberg. Max Martin's, in fact, his stage name. He was obsessed with music in the 80s and he joined a metal band called It's Alive, and by the early 90s they had a record deal and they worked with a producer called Dennis Pop, who had a record label called Sharon Records in Sweden, and he was kind of a big producer at the time. The band kind of stalled, but Dennis Pop saw something in at the time was Martin White, but he changed his name to Max Martin and said, I'm going to mentor you and turn you into a big songwriter. So he started working with the Sharon team. They worked with the Ace of Base, who were massive at Europop act at the time. Also, Max Martin credits the music education system in Sweden for his success, because in Sweden they offer music education in after school programs that are subsidized by the state, and it helped make Sweden such a big force in pop music. There's a reason why if you're like an emerging pop star or writer, you go to Sweden to work with the like gaggle of songwriters they have, and also their own kind of artist economy is very strong, because basically people learn how to become pop stars when they're like 5.
Well, I mean, let's talk about ABBA, Avicii. Like,
think how big Sweden is in Eurovision every year. Like, when Sweden sends a song to Eurovision, they spend weeks doing live televised finals with dozens of songs that are like all absolute like A-grade quality. So it's kind of baked into Sweden's cultural DNA, and Max Martin is, I think, a great example of that.
The mid-90s, Connor, was when Max Martin got to work with upcoming pop stars, and he was really a part of making that 90s teen pop such a big thing.
Exactly. So like it came at a perfect time for him. Like, he was brought in to work with the Backstreet Boys in 1995. He worked on songs with them like Quit Playing Games, My Heart, and later on did As Long As You Love Me, Everybody, Backstreet's Back. They really took off in Europe first and then became big in the US. By 1999, he was working on songs like I Want It That Way and their album Millennium, which sold like over a million copies in the first week it came out in America. Sadly, Dennis Pop actually died from throat cancer in 1998, just as his work with Max and all these writers got really big. He was only 35 years old. So Max kind of carried the flame and the torch for him in a big way. He worked with Robin, who at the time is like a 17-year-old Swedish pop star, not the kind of alternative dance diva we know her to be now. And then really Britney and NSYNC helped turn Max Martin into a big name. And I think Britney really showed what a genius he was. Baby One More Time was her debut single that came out here in 1999. It was in the US in 1998. Originally written for TLC, and apparently Simon Cowell wanted it for Five back in the day as well. But Britney got her hands on it, and it's still one of the best pop tunes ever. My loneliness is killing me.
Pressure, just in case anybody couldn't remember how that song went. Like, what is it about Max Martin? What's it about his writing or his ear that makes music work?
I think Baby One More Time is a good example. He has a very kind of European, slightly odd approach to this big kind of American pop sound where, like, English is not his first language, so sometimes the approach to the phrase is a little bit off. When Baby One More Time came out, people were a bit like, is this a song about being hit by somebody? What? And they were trying to do a play on Hit Me Up, Call Me Again, Hit Me One More Time. So that sort of oddness made it work. But then if you think about, for example, NSYNC, It's Gonna Be Me, and Ariana Grande's Break Free, there's some really weird phrasing and tones in that song that make them kind of stay in your ear. And actually, in recent interviews, both of those artists have discussed how basically they were told to sing these off lyrics a certain way to make them memorable. In fact, It's Gonna Be May is a meme now. And Justin Timberlake was on Hot Ones a while ago and spoke about the reasoning behind that.
I sang, "It's Gonna Be Me." And he was like, "No, no, 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 no." And he was like, "It's May."
Yeah.
May.
You also remember their Swedish accents.
Yeah,
and
yes.
And they had done a demo of it, and they were like, "It's like this."
Right? That was very
like lost in translation.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny? Specifically to Max Martin, the parts of their English that were broken actually made them catchier songwriters because they would put words away that almost didn't make sense, but when you sang them, they were more memorable.
It's gonna be May.
And it works. And if you think Ariana Grande, Break Free, one of the first big songs to do with him, there's a line in which she says, "Now I've become who I really are." And she apparently hated that was grammatically incorrect. And she was also on Hot Ones and discussed the Swedish way of making these songs work.
One of my favorite memories is when we were making Break Free. I was a lot younger and I did not want to do the intonation on "Say how are ya?" And he was like, "No, it really needs to be like pingy, like me, like annoying. It has to be like, say I don't want ya." And I was like, "Fine, like this, say I don't want ya." And that's what made it to the record. He was like, "Perfect, thank you, that's all I needed."
So that approach, I think, is what kind of gives the songs a little extra something. They're slightly off kilter, but they're also extremely sticky. Like, there's not an inch spared on those songs.
Yeah, he knows exactly what he's after. I get where she's coming from, though, as well, where you're that young, you're new in the music industry, you don't want anybody pushing you around. So you're like, "No, I'm not going to say it the wrong way." But in fact, he does know exactly what he's talking
about. When in Sweden, you do what they tell you. That's how I would approach it.
We mentioned the teen pop superstars, but rock pop ended up working quite well for Max Martin, didn't it? Like, one of my absolute favourite albums of all time is Kelly Clarkson, Breakaway.
Yes.
Like, I on repeat listen to it. Myself and my best friend Amy used to come home from Barrett's in Montpellier every single weekend and put that on and go to sleep with it. It's so specific.
but that's the beauty of all these songs and all the stuff he's been involved in.
Pink, of course, was in there too, and he had a massive run of hits with Katy Perry.
So it's funny, in the early 2000s, Max Martin set up his own production company, and there was kind of a fallow period because R&B got really big in the US and that kind of pure teen pop thing did not really, like, wasn't as popular for a while. So he pivoted a little bit, and around 2004 or 5 worked with Kelly Clarkson, who had done American Idol, was doing her second album. They wanted to kind of make her stand out. So he worked with her and Dr. Luke on "Since You've Been Gone," "Behind These Hazel Eyes," songs that turned her into the Kelly Clarkson we now know. I mean, they suited her voice and they really cut through. He also worked with Pink on what were some of her signature songs, like "You and Your Hand" and "So What." And Pink is very blunt and to the point. And I watched an interview she gave about Max Martin recently where she praised him. And I thought, if you can win over Pink, you've done something right.
Because I tend to oversing and I tend to take everything to church. And the louder I scream, the better it feels in life, singing or not. So I think what he's great at is stop, take a deep breath, simplify. A great chef says the most important ingredient is the thing you leave out. And I think that's also great for producing. That's what he brings, is he sort of takes all of you and then goes, "These parts are fantastic, let's work with this."
So he has a good ear, and I think Katy Perry's another example of that. That pop rock trend by 2008 or 9 was so dominant in pop music. He co-wrote her massive debut single, I Kissed a Girl. That was number one in the US. In Ireland, it was the fifth biggest song in 2008. So many of the Katy Perry signature songs from 2008 to 2017 have had him involved. California Girls, Dark Horse, Part of Me, or just a few of them. In fact, of the nine number ones Katy's had in America, he has co-written on eight of them. And he's had 27 US number ones. So, like, that's just Katy Perry. And that's before we even get to the Taylor Swift of it all.
Good person, a kind person, and I think he kind of sets the scene for it to be really creative. He's happy to search for whatever road you want to go down, songwriting wise, and he's a friend and a listener.
This is so insane because we've heard from now Katy Perry, Pink, Ariana Grande, Justin Timberlake, just singing his praises on about, like, you know, how well he knows his stuff, and it seems to be a really good working relationship. It's really interesting because, Connor, like, it's one thing to hit big with Teen Pop, but that all shows he was able to write for such different people, okay? Everything that we've listened to there. And the fact that, let's go there, Taylor Swift, who is so respected as a songwriter herself, has worked with him. That says an awful lot.
Yeah, because Taylor Swift and Max Martin have made a lot of big pop songs together. When they started working together, it was 2012, and she'd been a huge country star that was crossing over to... She'd been in the US and starting to cross over the rest of the world, but at the time, it was kind of a hard sell to have a country act be as big, which is mad to think now, because country is so massive at the moment. So they worked on the album Red back in 2012. He worked on I Knew You Were Trouble, 22, We Are Never Getting Back Together. They all became some of her biggest singles ever and kind of helped her become a more of a pop star versus a country star. But it was 1989, they came out, and back in 2014, that really turned into her into a big proper A-list pop girly. You had Shake It Off, Blank Space, Bad Blood. He wrote a good 2/3 of the album, came back for the Reputation era as well. So, like, I think when you think of Taylor Swift is an incredible songwriter on her own, but the fact that he was able to come in and not only help her get into pop but also match her and kind of still let her be herself, I think it speaks to his talent. I mean, look at, say, Ariana as well. That's a similar situation.
Well, actually, let's speak about Ariana, because I know that we did Break Free a second ago. That was with Zedd. But let's bring it to more recent times. The song of 2024 that just took over this time last year was Yes And.
Not just because you danced with Dancing with the
Thank
Stars.
You very
You're
going
to email Max Martin after this. Yeah, I mean, back in 2014, he worked on Problem and Break Free and all these songs with Ariana that kind of helped turn her into a proper pop star and put her in the big leagues. And they've always kind of found each other, even when she's gone into different directions musically. So, like, No Tears Left to Cry, You Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored, and then in the most recent kind of year, Eternal Sunshine, her most recent album, he wrote on 11 out of the album's 13 tracks. And they actually, she was doing Wicked at the time, the strike happened, but the actors and writers strike, so Ariana had some time off and said to Max Martin, come to New York and let's just work on music together. And the two of them just holed up in a studio and bashed out an album. And I think there's very few songwriters his level that would actually kind of be that collaborative. And I mean, Yes And, you're right, it's one of the best songs of last year. It's still an absolute banger.
It still goes.
Pat a beret, cha-cha-cha. Tens.
I'm still a bit scared from doing this, I'm not going to lie.
Dennis walks in, and go! This comes on the club, you're like, turn it off!
And again. I'm like, no, I actually can't. I'm not able for this right now. Look, I made a very...
You were a bit shady earlier.
I was a bit shady about the weekend, but that's because, obviously, Blinding Lights was one of those songs that just brings me straight back to 2020, because that was when we all jumped on TikTok.
It was a lockdown moment, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, I mean, we just have to speak about it and Max Martin's involvement in it.
Well, The Weeknd is a funny one because he was on that song with Ariana, Love Me Harder, which is around the kind of 2014 time that he works with Ariana. The Weeknd was a very cool alternative R&B singer that at one point people didn't even know what he looked like. He'd signed a major label deal after a bunch of these mixtapes. He had a cult following but had not broken through. His label were like, could you do this song with Ariana? He said, okay. Max Martin and his team didn't even know who he was. Realized, wait, this guy has a great ear. Let's do something with him. And then you got Can't Feel My Face. You got Blinding Lights. You got this run of massive songs that have turned The Weeknd into literally one of the biggest pop stars, if not the biggest, of the last decade. Blinding Lights is one of the most streamed songs of all time. It is on Spotify alone. It's over 4 billion streams. Mm-hmm. And that's just that song. And then there's about 6 or 7 other songs he's done with them. It's insane.
It's absolutely wild. Connor Bean, thank you so much, as always, for joining us. And you blow my mind every single time you come in here with the facts and the information that goes on.
If you thought that was fun, I have to say, because part of the reason we're on this buzz is And Juliet is this new musical reimagining Romeo and Juliet. with a bunch of Max Martin songs. You'll be blown away by how many songs I fit into it. It is coming to Ireland on the 25th of February. It's here to March 8th at Borgosh Energy Theatre. It's a short run. This has been on the West End. It's still on Broadway. If you like your pop music, if you like your musicals, either or, I think you're going to have a lot of fun with this.
Okay,
one.
Well, actually, you do have a clip here, so let's have a listen to this before we go.
Romeo can still die, that's fine. But what I really want to see is Juliet wake up and decide to just move on.
Since you've been gone.
Sign me up.
It's so much fun. I saw it at a matinee in Liverpool in November and there were people up in the aisles. I was like, it's lunchtime and we're all going, roar, roar. I was like, if I see this on a Saturday night in Dublin, I'm going to be swinging from the chandelier.
When is it coming to Dublin?
It's coming to Dublin the 25th of February to March 8th. It's called Anne Juliet. It's the songs of Max Martin put to a new take on Romeo and Juliet. I can't. It's so hard to explain, but once you see it, you'll get it. It's written by a guy who wrote on Schitt's Creek as well. So it's a lot of great comedy in there as
I'm
well.
I'm not going to lie. I don't care. I heard Kelly Clarkson
yes,
since
exactly.
even gone.
Yeah,
shoved in the middle of it. Conor Ian, thank you so
thank
much
you.
For joining us. We're going to take a quick ad break and then we're going to have to play one of those songs.
Oh God, yes.
We
okay,
need to do a lot of discussing right now.
With Laura Fox.
Podcast.